Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and right now I'm solo here at my bright red desk broadcasting from New York City on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Heather and Mark are both supposed to be calling in, but it is Mercury retrograde. Actually, Mercury stationing, not retrograde. It is stationing and going direct today. So we are clearing the Mercury shadow, but I think maybe they fell asleep with the turkey. I don't know. We'll see if they call in. But at any rate, what we do here on Access Astrology is we talk about the energy in the sky, how you can work with it productively, what it's going to feel like in the week ahead, and we take calls from listeners. So forward we go. Let's talk about what's going on this week. Very big week. Very, very big. Couple of things. One, we've got the Mercury stationing direct, like earlier today. So Mercury's been retrograde in its shadow, actually, since October 10th, when it entered its shadow. And now it has moved into Sag, and then it backed up and went retrograde. And now it's stopping in the sky, and it's turning direct. And it's going to clear its shadow in December. So the idea with Mercury retrograde is it brings back the ghosts. It brings back the people from your past. It brings back the people that you're supposed to talk to and work with and understand things with. And it helps you figure out who you are, why you're here, what you're here to do. And I often think of it as the ghost time. It's when all the ghosts in your life appear and they show up and you go, wow, haven't heard from you in a while. Good to hear from you. So you can hear from people you haven't heard from. You can run into people on the street. One of my students tonight was talking about meeting this guy on the street. She wasn't in her neighborhood. He wasn't in his neighborhood. But their eyes met by the swatch store. And it's understanding that, you know, when you have this kind of crazy Mercury-Scorpio energy, the dead rise again. Literally, very literally, dead people you thought were dead come back. I had a friend was announced dead on a Mercury retrograde, and they were like, no, I just didn't send out Christmas cards that year, but claimed to be dead because of no Christmas cards. The idea with Mercury retrograde is to offer us an opportunity. It asks us to understand on a bigger level what we're in communication for, why we're in communication, the different kinds of communication we have, and what to do with all those different things. So we find Mercury retrograde and the composite Mercury cloud when it's full of chaos and excitement and it causes all sorts of problems. We find that an interesting time. So, of course, the 3 days before, which were Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the 3 days after, because it's stationed this afternoon, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, was called the Mercury storm period. So that can be when you hear from people that you haven't heard from in a long time or that you run into and you kind of go, hi, good to see you. So that's one thing that's going on this week. The next thing that's going on this week is we have a huge eclipse. Big, 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 big eclipse. This is a mean baby. Some eclipses are nice. Some eclipses are not nice. This is a not nice eclipse for a few reasons. Mars is out of bounds, and it's very active in the eclipse. Mars is in Capricorn, which is great. We love Mars in Capricorn, but it's meeting up with Pluto, the planet in charge of the underworld. Mars and Pluto together are war. So people are going to feel a little warlike. On one level. On another level, it's an ending cycle because it's coming to join Pluto. Mars comes to join Pluto this week. And it ends a cycle that has been running for 2 years, that started 2 years ago in 2010. Once that finishes, you wrap up the story and you say, wow, okay, that's done. Packed up that story, on to the next, and forward we go. And we start a new 2 year story when Mars and Pluto meet, which is on Tuesday. Another meeting in Capricorn. Capricorn is a very solid, reliable, dependable sign. It answers to Saturn in Scorpio. Mars right now is running Saturn for the next 3 years because Saturn's in the sign of Mars, Scorpio. Or Pluto is running Saturn because he's in the sign of Scorpio, if you like modern rulers. I like traditional because they change a little more frequently. You know, 15 years of Pluto in a sign, long time. 2 years. 2 months of Mars in the sign, much more reasonable, you know. Besides, do you really, really want to have, you know, all this Capricorn energy just for 3 years, man? You know, let me have a little change up with the Mars. So Mars went from Sag a couple weeks ago into Capricorn. Now he's getting serious. And there's what's in the sky, something called a finger of God and a focused yod, which means the yods are interchanged. Their legs kind of link up. So what that does is it makes them more intense. Now, that means if you have a finger of God in your chart, or a yod, Y-O-D, which you know, those of you who have it generally know, because you have fated events happen to you, boom, stuff changes, boom, your life kind of takes off, boom, you didn't have any control, boom, moved again, boom, you know, it's that kind of, you know, you get carried like a friggin' baby kitten. You don't necessarily have a lot of control. And Mother Cat drops you and says, okay, there's dogs around. And you're like, dogs? What is a dog? And then Mother Cat comes back and picks you up and carries you somewhere else. So the universe, when you have a finger of God, it's a fated chart, meaning your chart's going to encounter fated events, have to deal with them, have to work with them. This finger of God, this eclipse, has two yods that are focused and are intertwined. So it's a very fated time period, meaning you're going to run into your fate on some level. And it's important when we run into fate. Now, eclipses, of course, summon up enormous emotional energy, because all year long the sun and the moon dance around in the heavens, and twice a year they get to meet and have a party, which is what we call the eclipses. Now, this you know, I've gotten a few emails from people going, "This is not a pleasant eclipse. I am not having a good time." And I have to say, I haven't been having a really good time with it either, although I have seen a lot of movies, which that part's good about. But it's understanding that when we have eclipses, one of the things that we do is we really understand that there's enormous energy of transformation in them, that the universe just really wants to kick our butts or cosmically make us wake up. So this eclipse, with its fingers of God, it also has a couple hammers of Thor. Hammers of Thor bang on your head. And they say, wake up, wake up, come on, wake up. You got to get with the plan. You got to get with the program. So those are going on. So eclipses culminate stories. They also are taking us back to June 1st, 2011, the eclipse that was taking place then, which was a very powerful little baby. And so we're having the closing eclipse now from that eclipse, which was in June, then last February of 2012. We had part two. Now we're having part three, with the full moon, and then next September we have part four. So it's kind of a bigger 2.5-year cycle. We call it the metonic cycle, and it links up with the major repeating of the planets. Every 19 years, the moon is in the same place in your chart, which is a long time. We don't really remember 19 years, but those crickets do. You know, those cicadas, they pop out of the ground every 19 years, right on cue. The moon remembers. The moon is the memory. So the eclipse this week is very strong. Then the next thing we have with this eclipse is we have the two hammers of Thor, which I talked about. We also have a kite. Now, kites are easy. They just kind of pull you in a direction, and they say, okay, we have to fly this way. And you do. You go off into that direction, and it's fine. You have a good time. Then the next piece is we have Venus and Saturn meeting up together. Now, Venus and Saturn is a slightly shorter cycle. It's 10 months. It will end next September. But Venus and Saturn, of course, is your principle of desire and love and money, joining with Saturn, the principle of work and honor. So in the United States right now, we're having this Powerball thing that's a huge amount of money. Everybody's all excited. They want to win the Powerball with $400 million. Me too. But it's Venus-Saturn. The money is calling. The price is calling. The information is calling. So Venus-Saturn always invites us to describe what is delicious for us, what is delectable, what we really deeply, truly want in our heart of hearts. So Venus and Saturn has a very strong calling. So we have them meeting up this week. We have Mars and Pluto meeting up this week. Now, there's a thing in the heavens called mutual reception. What mutual reception does is it lets planets shift spots. So Mars is in the sign of Capricorn, which is Saturn's sign. And Saturn is in the sign of Scorpio, which is Mars's sign, which means that Mars and Saturn can swap places. So Mars can go over and turn into Scorpio, and then he's cuddling up next to Venus. Okay. So one of the images for this full moon eclipse is Cupid knocking at your door. So it can be a romance returning or a beloved returning, because Cupid energy is very high. The other thing that happens, Saturn goes over and sits next to Pluto. Now, when I say to people, the power of Saturn and Pluto is enormous. It's like a rocket ship taking off. It's like the Challenger or one of those space shuttles getting launched into air where you're sitting on thousands and thousands of pounds of explosives. That's Saturn and Pluto. We saw Saturn and Pluto fighting with the World Trade Center. That imagery, you know, Pluto, fire from the heavens, from a faraway place for religious purposes or belief purposes, crashing into twin towers, Saturn and Gemini, right? The two planets were fighting in Sag and Gemini. And so that was the power of them fighting. When they unite, incredible manifestation power. Also great power for killing people, having wars, doing really rotten things to each other. So we don't want to go to the downside of it, but we do want to understand that this is very powerful energy, this eclipse, this week. The other thing is Venus and Mars are talking to each other by sextile, which means Mars is in Capricorn, and he's talking to Venus and Scorpio, water and earth. They make mud. They grow things. Very fertile placement. If they swap out and Mars gets to side up next to Venus and Scorpio, you know what's going to happen. And if Saturn flops over next to Pluto, that is an enormous amount of power to harness. Even if you just leave Mars next to Pluto, okay, and let him just hang out with Pluto and the two of them have at it, because that's the energy of war, it's also enormous power. When you're having a Mars-Pluto aspect, you just kind of rock. Now, on a bad day, you can also really lose it and kind of go, what the hell happened there? Because Pluto ran away with me, or Mars ran away with my Pluto, whatever. You can get very crazy on these aspects, but it also is very intense energy. And the two of them, those four planets are all sextile to each other, and they're also forming a finger of God with the moon in Gemini. Now, the moon in Gemini is a little lightweight, meaning indecisive, not 100% sure, doesn't really know what she wants. But right now, Mercury is stationing in Scorpio, 18 Scorpio, a very fixed degree of a very fixed sign in the path of fire. So Mercury stationing in the path of fire actually does know what it wants, even if it's not 100% sure how to say it. On a feeling level, it knows. So inside your being this week, you're going to get really clear. One of my students tonight said, you know, it's not been a fun eclipse, but I've been getting really, really clear about things. And I think that's a lot of people's reasons or processes on it. You know, it started the 2 weeks before with Sandy the Storm, when the moon was in Taurus and we had that huge storm arrive. Then we went to the new moon in Scorpio on Algol, the fixed star of beheading. You know, I've had friends have people killed. I've had people die of flesh-eating bacteria. the good part is I've been hearing a lot about it. It hasn't been happening to me, but I tell you, this has been a rough one. Now we're having the full moon in Gemini Sag, which is very much about seeing things and understanding. Remember, the light of the emotions goes out. There's a huge grand trine in water. Ceres is out of bounds. The mothering, nurturing principle. Opposite Mars and Cap, out of bounds. So Mars is out of bounds. Ceres is out of bounds. So our principle of how we nurture ourselves and how we take care of ourselves is not necessarily reacting the way we would like it to react. It's really having an enormous hissy fit, I guess is the best way to think of it. I'm not happy. And I don't really know why, but I know I am not happy. And that energy of that eclipse is mighty powerful. So this week, Monday, we have the Venus-Saturn aspect. Then we have the Mercury stationing going direct. Then we have the Mars-Pluto aspect. Then we have the eclipse. Then we have Venus and Mars sextiling each other. And Venus sextiling Pluto. So it's a very powerful energy for us, all of us here on little Earth, to work with. The other thing is a couple weeks ago, you know, I'd been saying this on my regular show, and I think I mentioned it here, but we were in the period of time where Saturn was kind of traveling through a patch he wasn't going to go through again for 30 years. That ended on October 14th, 15th. Now he's in revise mode. He's saying to you, okay, I want to take you deeper. I want you to really understand the forces that drive you, the things that make your heart sink, the things that make you afraid, the things that make you fearful, so that I can help you turn them into fearlessness. Scorpio, when it's working in its highest capacity. Now, there's all different ways of working in Scorpio energy, and it can go pretty dark and pretty nasty. But the higher version of Scorpio is about the evolution, about the vision of what we can become, the purpose that we serve, the why are we here, the what are we for. And the higher Scorpio loves in an incredibly pure way, integrating the Eros principle, the principle of the pleasures of the flesh with the deep, deep bonding and emotional connection. It's our root chakra. It's that orange place, the red and the orange part, if you're doing your chakra balancing energies, that is just so profound. So when we're working in Scorpio's energy, we have the ability and the opportunity and the capacity to have incredibly deep and profoundly amazing relationships with each other, provided we can get over our fear, provided we can get past it, provided we can let those things that block us from moving in it go. Now, one of the things, of course, that blocks us are our psychological issues. Oh, wow, that's Scorpio's realm, too. Scorpio is our mental and psychological problems. Cancer is the stuff we learn preverbally. We don't have words for them. We can't even say. It's just very in there. Pisces is our past life stuff that we carry in, you know, it's in our moon, and it's in our soul, and it's in the ruler of our 12th, and all that cool stuff. But Scorpio, that's the shit we get from our mother, our father, the church, our siblings, the people that shame us, our society that says this is good behavior, that's bad behavior. Scorpio is the psychological issues that we have to work out as a grown-up, as we're becoming a grown-up. You know, our parents raise us, they give us their insecurities, they give us our good things too, but they give us their anxieties in the areas that they haven't maybe worked out so well. And then we have our chart that we bring into the mix of the family that we then have to go, well, I don't know that I really don't believe that, you know. But, and unless we're really clear, like I had a friend who when he went to the priest and said something about masturbation and the priest said it was a sin, he said, I don't think so. And that was clear for him. He was like, that's not a sin, and that's it for me in the Catholic Church. Okay, he's clear. But the rest of us, not so much, right? It's, you know, it's a little harder. It's a murky area. It's really? That's not a good thing? Why is it not? What, is that sin? In Scorpio, of course, is the stuff we don't really talk about very well. When we get into the Scorpio areas, it can feel a little bit like we're riding around in a toilet bowl. We're doing the swirly. We're going down for the count. It's a little skanky sometimes, truth be told. It's, you know, how you smell after a really long day at the beach. That's Scorpio, those body smells. It's not always pleasant, and we don't always go there willingly. And a lot of times we don't go there at all because, frankly, we would just prefer to forget that that part of our body or that part of our psyche exists. However, Saturn in Scorpio is going to be making us go there for 3 long years. We're going to have to learn to work in this area. Then we get emancipated and sent off into Saturn in Sagittarius after having done all this work delving around in our internals and our beliefs and our fears and our anxieties and our insecurities and our Scorpio places. We'll be asked at the end of it to say, well, what do you believe, Saturn in Sagittarius, which is much cleaner and easier energy because it's friggin' fire. When we're rolling around in the swamp, it's really hard. So this weekend, I went to see Lincoln. And it's very good. I recommend everybody go see it for a number of reasons. And if at the very minimum, make sure you go with Lincoln's chart in your hand. Guy's really good. And Daniel Day-Lewis plays him beautifully. And Sally Fields does a great job with Mary, his wife. But it's a very interesting movie because one of the things that, you know, there are scenes of the Civil War and the mud. And drowning people literally in the mud. And the blood and the gut and the gore and, you know, all that kind of Scorpio energy. But it was very promising, energetically clean on some level because it was really clear how muddy and bloody and gross it was. It's kind of an interesting it's kind of an interesting conundrum when you're in a situation where there's blood and guts and gore involved, that you actually really get very focused and very clear. It helps you focus, helps you see things in a whole new way. And one of the beauties, the gifts of Scorpio, is the sign ruled by surgeons and doctors and mafia people and undertakers and museum overlords, who of course work with lots of dead things, and taxidermists and garbage collectors, all Scorpio. The detritus and the outflow of our lives, the things that are left behind, that's all Scorpio. And we do need to deal with it. It's part of the compost of our life. It's part of the compost of the world. And we have to go into it and understand it and work with it productively. So this week, the universe is going to come to you and it's going to say, okay, Saturn's in Scorpio. Going to be here for 3 years. We're starting a new program now. You're in. Everybody's in. Unless you croak. And then you're out. But you're going to come back. You're in. What do you want to evolve? How do you want to evolve it? What do you want it to do? Where do you want to take it? We're going to go working around in your innards. We're going to work on your insides. We're going to help you get clear on those things. So what do we need to do with you to get you clear on those? What do you need to see? How do we help you have clarity? So this week, with the two conjunctions forming that are flipping, that can flip, that are forming an inconjunct to the moon in Gemini that's answering to Mercury in Scorpio, stationed, you're going to find out what you're going to be working on for the next 3 years. It's very profound, very important time. And your job, should you decide to accept it, is to say, okay, that's what I have to work on? That kind of makes me afraid. Yep. I don't really want to work on that. Yep. Do I have to? Yep. But what if I don't want to? Doesn't matter. It's going to show up. And that's the beauty of it. The beauty of astrology is the transits are going to show up. And your opportunity here is to figure out how to work with them in a higher way or a lower way. And both are possible. You can get dragged kicking and streaming through this Scorpio energy. Or you can go, okay, let me try and move it to a different level. Let me try and work with it productively. Let me try and understand what actually is going on. So when things get triggered for you, when emotions get stirred up, when you feel passionate or you feel angry or you feel really a little out of control, because Scorpio can make you feel out of control, they are the people that know how to go poke, poke, poke and get you to prompt, get you to pop. That's the beauty of Scorpio. They know they know where that little button is. The good part is they know where the button is. The bad part is they know where the button is. You're going to learn where your buttons are. You're going to learn how to work with them. And as one of my friends said, who's a therapist, is you can't actually get rid of your buttons, but you can put cotton padding over them, and you can be aware that when they're getting pushed, whether you want to react to them or not, and you can pause in that moment between push and reaction to decide how you want to react to them, and you can choose your reaction. Interesting. We don't often think about choosing our reaction. We don't often think that we have the ability to kind of say, you know what, I don't really think I want to do that. Thanks anyhow. It's a very strong energy. So the idea behind all this is to give yourself permission to evolve, to grow, to change, to listen to your innards, to listen to your insides, and figure out what actually the universe is trying to get you to do, because it's trying to get you to do something. And that's the beauty of this time. And what eclipses do, because the light goes out, in this case, the light of the moon, the light of the emotions take a hit. And you go, oh, my God, that really hit hard. I didn't see that one coming. That's the problem with Scorpio. You didn't see it coming. But it stung you. Now that you've been stung, you have to figure out what to do with it. Eclipses bring things to light. They help you see things that maybe you didn't want to see. But now that you've seen it, you have to handle it. You have to work with it. You have to deal with it. And you can. You're going to be fine. The whole idea here is to know that you don't have to do it fast. You've got 3 years. You don't have to do it perfectly. Ain't no such thing. You don't have to really even do it alone. You can call on other people. You can call on your guides. You can call on your angels. You can call on your ancestors. You can call your, you know, you can call your chiropractor and your therapist. You can call your acupuncturist. Actually, I find acupuncture strangely calming when I'm really wired. I don't know, it kind of tunes down my Uranus, my Aquarian rising stuff. There's a lot of people around that are going to be going through similar things to you, too. So it's understanding they're going through their Saturn in Scorpio, and you might be a transit in their life helping them get clear, and they're going to maybe help you get clear. And that's just actually what we're all here to do. We're all here to work together and figure out how to do it. I don't know where Heather and Mark are. Got 4 minutes left. Nobody's called in. I wonder if there's something going on in the world that I'm not tuned into. At any rate, the idea with all this is to understand that we're in the world to learn, to grow. Our charts are having this transit of Scorpio. Saturn's going through your Scorpio house. Look to your natal placement where Saturn lives in your chart, what house it's in. Look to the signs that it rules, meaning Capricorn and Aquarius, those houses, because those are the houses that are going to evolve and change. And look to understand the greater pull, push of the energy, the greater encouragement, the greater process, the greater vision of what you can accomplish and what you can do. Because that's really what it's all about. When you get right down to it, you come in the world, you grow up, you love, you lose, you cry, you make some money, which you can't take with you, and then you leave. And so when it's all said and done, what's it all about? It's about the love, for sure. It's about the connection, for definite. It's about, you know, having things that really are important to you and being able to experience them and achieve them, or being able to experience them and enjoy them. Enormous energy with that. And it also is a great deal of energy around how do we move forward? What do? How do we get to that next place? So on that lovely note, the moon this week is running through a few signs as it zips along in the heavens. The moon is going to go through, hang on, we'll just pull it up here. The moon is void on Monday at 7:58 and is void all day Tuesday till Tuesday night. Then it's void on Wednesday, and it's void all day Thursday. Void Wednesday night at 8:05, and it's void all day Thursday. And then it's void on Sunday in the afternoon, all day actually, until 8 o'clock. So it's a lot of voids. Now, we have a lot of voids because part of what we're working with this energy is a lot of planets are in new signs, so that makes void moons very possible, probable, and often. So we're going to have a lot of day-long void moons, which is great. And the moon goes through the sign of Gemini, which is communication, chat, 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 and goes through Cancer, which is feelings and emotions, and goes through Leo, playful, creative. That's the signs for this week. So the Gemini moon, of course, is when the solar eclipse happens. And that is on Wednesday at 9:45 in the morning Eastern Standard Time. So we're not going to see it here, but people out west can get up at sunrise and maybe notice it. So the whole idea this week is just to let go. To let go of the things you don't need. So I'm going to close with a poem. She let go. Without a thought or a word, she let go. She let go of the fear. She let go of the judgments. She let go of the confluence of opinions swarming around her head. She let go of the committee of indecision within her. She let go of all the right reasons, wholly and completely, without hesitation or worry. She just let go. She didn't ask anyone for advice. She didn't read a book on how to let go. She didn't search the scriptures. She just let go. She let go of all the memories that held her back. She let go of all the anxiety that kept her from moving forward. She let go of the planning and all the calculations about how to do it just right. She didn't promise to let go. She didn't journal about it. She didn't write the projected date in her day timer. She made no public announcement and put no ad in the paper. She didn't check the weather report or read her daily horoscope. She just let go. She didn't analyze whether she should let go. She didn't call her friends to discuss the matter. She didn't do a 5-step treatment. She didn't call the prayer line. She didn't utter one word. She just let go. No one was around when it happened. There was no applause or congratulations. No one thanked her or praised her. No one noticed a thing. like a leaf falling from a tree, she just let go. There was no effort. There was no struggle. It wasn't good. It wasn't bad. It was what it was. And it was just that. In the space of letting go, she let it all be. A small smile came over her face. A light breeze blew through her, and the sun and the moon shone forevermore. That is by Reverend Sapphire Rose. I wish you a wonderful week. Have a great eclipse. Remember, just let go. Bye.